The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
The executive order protects access to contraceptions that I'm about to sign. Justice Thomas himself said that under the reasoning of this decision, this is what Justice Thomas said in his concurring opinion, that the court should reconsider the constitutional right to contraception, to use contraception, even among married couples. In what century are they in?
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, there's your Catholic president for you, right? Second Catholic president, Joe Biden. Crazy, absolutely crazy, crazy, crazy. Anything that is against life, you know, Joe Biden is for. And I know that sounds partisan, but I'm telling you, I'm a little frustrated. You know, evil has been, it has a way of gnawing at the heart of an individual. It certainly has a way of gnawing at the heart of a nation. And for about 50 years, we've seen that. You know, when the highest court finally overturned a decision that allowed evil to run rampant in our land, to destroy life, to damage women, to destroy families, just from a spiritual perspective, I'll tell you how it's going down. The devil is not going to take that sitting down. Evil is not going to say, oh, well, I lost this one. You're going to see a reaction, a recoil. You're going to see evil do everything in its power to try to get that power back, that evil completely back into our country, those demonic hooks back into the flesh of this country. And Satan's the father of lies. What's he going to do? He's going to use every lie in the book to deceive people. And I see it playing out clear as day. I don't know if you do. You take a look at what's happening across the national scene here. Take a look what's coming, you know, from our leaders in this country. You're hearing that the Supreme Court took away the constitutional right to abortion that a woman had. That's baloney. There never was a constitutional right to abortion. That's what the Supreme Court determined. It's a total lie. There is no constitutional right to abortion. Search thoroughly through the entire document. Search through all of its amendments. You won't find the word. You won't find the concept. You won't find anything remotely resembling the word or the concept in our nation's founding documents. You're not going to find it. It's not there. Along with that, what are you hearing? We're hearing all of a sudden a lot of concern about women, right? With their ectopic pregnancies and miscarriages. Not really a lot of concern. What you're hearing is, you know, there are some hard cases being brought up. Abortion advocates claim that, you know, any states that restrict abortion or outlaw it altogether, well, it's going to limit the care that women face, you know, and especially in those situations, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen to those women? Now, abortion advocates are claiming that women who miscarry, you're going to need to have medical procedures done to help them afterwards. They're going to be punished. You have a miscarriage, you're going to be punished, or your doctor will be. I mean, again, let me go back to what I just said. That's a lie, right? It's coming from the prince of lies, the great deceiver. Oh, the nation outlawed abortion here. It's a massive deception. That's what it is. It's a massive deception. You know, again, and we could talk about this. Coming up in just a few moments, we'll speak to a physician. And you're more than welcome to join me, too. The number here is 888-914-9149. You know, ectopic pregnancies can resemble, you know, those can resemble abortion. So doctors are definitely going to be punished? I don't think so. Right? I mean, in fact, there was something going around last week claiming that one doctor waited 8 hours to treat an ectopic pregnancy just out of fear of violating the law. And the woman died as a result of it. So they're going to take that story and run with it. Of course, let me just be clear. I don't want anyone to think that that's true. It's been debunked. That, too, is a total lie, right? A total lie. Let's talk a little bit about this. We'll talk about what the president is doing. We'll take a look at some of these great myths. I'm joined today by Dr. Monique Ruberu. She is an OBGYN in Meadowbrook, Pennsylvania, trained in NAPRO technology. You can check her out. That's a whole other conversation. Dr. Hilders at Creighton University developed a method. And I'll tell you what, it's a life changer for a lot of women. Might want to check that out. Hey, doctor, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Hey, great to be on with you guys.
Let's start first with this whole concept of miscarriages. Why would anyone mistake treating a woman for, you know, for a miscarriage for an abortion? Why? I don't get that.
So I think what it comes down to is obviously a lot of incorrect teachings and the people just spreading crazy, nonsensical information. But when they refer, like medically, when they code something and they're billing for it, they do code it when somebody has a miscarriage as a spontaneous abortion. Now, that is a completely different thing from an elective abortion or a termination of pregnancy, which is what an abortion is in the way that we think of it as pro-lifers. A spontaneous abortion is just a miscarriage of a baby, and you can either pass that baby in one of many ways. You can pass the baby on your own, you can have medicine which helps you pass the baby, or you can have a surgical procedure to remove the remains of the baby. And there is absolutely nothing illegal about having a DNC procedure to, you know, get rid of or to take out the baby's remains from the mom. And it's just so ridiculous. All these things that are floating around on Facebook and all these other social media platforms saying that because of this new Dobbs decision, that women are not going to be able to have a DNC after a miscarriage, or women are not going to be able to have an ectopic pregnancy taken care of. An ectopic pregnancy is a completely different situation. This baby is non-viable. It's in the tube. And regardless, you know, either they'll go in and they'll remove the tube, which is, according to our faith, the most ethical thing to do. Or in some places, depending on the size of the baby, they'll give medication to kind of dissolve the pregnancy. But neither of those things are abortion. And so it shouldn't even enter into the conversation.
Yeah, doctor, I could not agree with you more. I think of how this is going to be used by those who want to continue to promote, you know, abortion and the culture of death in our country. And I sit back and I think about some of these doctors who could be dishonest. Could a dishonest doctor disguise an abortion in paperwork as a miscarriage? Somebody comes in and say, well, I'll just write it up as a miscarriage.
Yes. I mean, that could absolutely happen. But if, you know, the truth always prevails, and somewhere along the line, somebody will always find out. And it's, you know, on that person and their soul to be truthful and to report these things when they do happen, so that people are held to task, because it should never happen. I mean, now that this is in place.
So, you know, this issue of ectopic pregnancy, I'll touch on this. I do want to talk about Joe Biden as well, but briefly describe what an ectopic pregnancy is, why it's so dangerous for the mother, and what the treatment for them should be.
Absolutely. So an ectopic pregnancy is just a pregnancy which is present outside of the uterine cavity. So that could be an ectopic pregnancy in any part of the tube. It could be an ectopic pregnancy. It's also called heterotopic pregnancy if this baby implants outside of the tubes, even, you know, on other organs in the belly. But the way that this is taken care of is either, like I mentioned, you use medication, or you use a surgical procedure to remove the tube that the baby's in, or surgical procedure if it's a heterotopic pregnancy outside of the uterus to remove the fetal tissue from there. But, you know, if you're talking about ectopic pregnancies, truly you should be much more concerned about all of these women who are now going to be receiving the abortion pill without any sort of ultrasound or anything else, where they have no idea where the pregnancy is before they're giving this pill to these women. Those are the women who are most in danger of having an ectopic pregnancy and getting hurt because of it.
Yeah. My guest today, Dr. Monique Ruberu, if you want to join us, the number here, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You know, you're in Pennsylvania. It's my home state. If legislators there, you know, they decided to suddenly outlaw abortion, just for you personally, would you still be able to treat women in those situations? How's it work for you?
Absolutely. There is nothing that would prevent me from taking care of the women that I care for on a day-to-day basis. Number one, I don't perform abortions, and I don't write for contraceptives, so we're never using any abortifacient tactics to address every GYN issue that these women experience. So women that have abnormal bleeding and are having pain with their periods, that are having PMS issues or hormonal dysfunction, like all of those GYN issues, you don't need abortion, you don't need birth control to address any of that stuff. But this Dobbs case isn't even taking away birth control. Like, this is another crazy thing that's being spread around there. Oh, you know, they've taken away abortion, right, and now they're taking away birth control. Yeah, I wish they would. That would be great. But unfortunately, that's not the case.
Yeah. All right, let's grab a caller, too. Lucy in Milwaukee. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Lucy, good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question was, I thought I had read somewhere that they were developing a procedure that could actually save ectopic pregnancies. I don't remember where I read it, but it was something along the lines of they could put the baby where it was supposed to be or something like that. I'm wondering if that is true and if the doctor could comment on that.
Right.
To my knowledge, from what I've read in the past, there have been attempts of people taking the baby, especially like in a corneal ectopic where it's right there, right at the edge, and trying to help it to implant. But I have not heard or read of any like successes in this. So,
all right, Lucy, I hope that helped.
Oh no, that's great. Thank you. I was just curious.
No, you got it. All right. Yeah, I want to talk to you about the president and his view. For those who don't know, the president responded to the Supreme Court's decision in the Dobbs case. He signed an executive order. It expands the government's federal promotion of abortion. And again, this is a reaction. He's getting a lot of pressure right. His poll numbers are totally low. The progressive left side of the Democratic Party really wanted him to do more. And, you know, there's this call to codify Roe. That was not going to happen. So he used his executive pen, which he is very frequent, you know, very comfortable in using. And he issued an order basically encouraging broader access to abortion pills. And he ordered new federal initiatives to protect confidential medical information related to abortion. And what they want to do, the White House was promising to convene private pro bono attorneys, and they're going to bar associations, public interest groups. They want legal representation for patients, and they're throwing a lot of money at this. They're offering reproductive health care services throughout the country. Now, what does that mean, right? That's a very vague term. Depends on how you define it. They promise virtually to guarantee court challenges. I'm sure we're going to see other cases, state laws restricting abortion. So we'll see what happens with the president after making this announcement. He plans for an interagency task force on reproductive health care access. Doctor, it frustrates me when they use those terms. Reproductive health care sounds so good, you know, so sad, you know, so like a noble thing, but really it's code for something much, much darker. He wants to use federal government power to counter any legal restriction on abortion. Your thoughts on this? And Joe Biden's a Catholic. You're a Catholic. I it's so frustrating for me when I see a man like this just waver and cave and do what is completely wrong.
Yeah, it's a really sad thing, honestly. What we have to remember, I think, as Catholics, is that God created every one of these people, and that he desires for their soul as much as he desires for ours. And at every step along the way, you know, we have to continue to pray for this man that Amen. He will really understand the importance of these things that he's saying and what he's spreading and what he's standing for, because he is, you know, getting up in years. And, you know, from everything we've seen on the TV and all of these little news clips, it doesn't seem like his health is the best. Mm-hmm. And he really needs to be concerned about the status of his soul. And so it's a very sad thing when anybody stands up against life, when anybody takes the stand that life is not precious from conception to natural death. And it's especially sad when it's a Catholic, and it's especially sad when it's the leader of our country. So, you know, I can't even begin to fathom why someone would come to this conclusion, but all we can really do is continue to pray for him and pray for his soul, that he has some sort of a realization at the end and realize that he is honestly very much, you know, being manipulated by those around him. Because, I mean, from what we've seen, there's a lot of times that he can't even communicate properly. So I don't know that it's even his own, you know, things that he's reading to us.
Yeah, it's a great point that you bring up, and I tend to agree with you. I wonder who's pulling the strings, so to speak. You know, it's I do have concerns, but your point, and maybe I'll leave it on that. We really need to pray for this president. Look, we don't know the day or the hour. I looked at the Waukesha, you know, parade accident. We took a look at what happened in Highland Park with the shootings. You hear about people who are called home every day, not waking up or having a heart attack. We don't know the day or the hour, and eternity is a very long time. Joe Biden is our brother in Christ. He is, and you know, God loves him, you know, more than anything, and we need to pray for his conversion, that's for sure. Hey, Doctor, I'm grateful for your time. I got to take a short break, but if people want to get in touch with you, track you down, or get in touch with the work that you do, what's the best way to do that?
Absolutely. So our website for the office is naturalwomenshealth.com. And I'm available on, you know, different social media sites and whatnot. Just look up Dr. Monique Ribeiro and you can find me.
So let me give you a quick plug, though. What do you do there? I mean, how are you helping women?
So I'm a pro-life OBGYN. So I take care of all the GYN issues without the use of contraceptives and or abortion. I never refer for any of those things or IVF. And we basically address every single GYN issue that a woman could experience, including infertility. And it's the most amazing thing to allow people to really understand what the root cause is of their problem. And rather than covering it up with medications, trying to actually solve that root cause and heal them.
Maybe providentially, you heard Dr. Ribeiro today. If you want to track her down. Doctor, before I go to break, we'll sneak one last call in. I only have a minute or two. Stan's got a question for you. He's listening in Nevada. Hi, Stan. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Hi, Drew. Hey, I read Janet E. Smith's Humanae Vitae, where she basically compiled a lot of articles about why Pope, I think it was Pope Paul VI, why he was right about what's happening. And what I was finding was that a lot of things happen with contraception and abortion. Women's health kind of got worse, you know, and a lot of things emanated from that. And then when I read about, like, when I take a look at what's happening, like, in the military, where women, more sexual violence and everything occurred, more suicides. And I'm just wondering if states that have this, if women will, in the long run, be safer and their health will improve. And for that matter, for all these things that are, you know, that sort of branch off from that, LGBT and all these drugs that are thrown into the healthcare package, is healthcare, if it might become more affordable for everybody, if we kind of get right with God, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Well, Stan, thanks. I'm going to let Dr. Ribeiro respond to that. But, you know, one of the things the president said in this executive order today, it came on the fact sheet, you know, when he was signing this thing. He says, you know, women now have been denied, millions of women have been denied across the country. And as a result of this, with you know, the overturning of Roe, there'll be grave implications for their health, their lives, and their well-being. You heard what Stan said? I'd love you to address what the president said in that statement. I mean, that to me is another great lie. There's going to be grave implications for the health, lives, and well-being of women across this country because Roe's no longer around. Doctor, your thoughts?
So first of all, the number of women that I have encountered who have chosen abortion simply because it was legal, I can't even begin to tell you about the number of women that have told me that. And now that it is illegal in some places, I have had so many patients who are post-abortive tell me, I never would have done it if it was illegal at that time. So there is going to be a huge segment of the population who will change their mind about their behaviors because they know that abortion is not available to them.
That's right.
And that will be such a blessing for those women because they are not putting themselves in situations where they are going to end up getting pregnant. They're going to make better decisions. And for those women who do choose to engage in these activities and end up pregnant, or if a woman ends up pregnant because of, you know, some other cause, rape or whatever else, it's our job to step up and to help them and to help them to navigate the situation and to still be able to accomplish all of their dreams and all of their hopes and to be happy parents and everything else, right? As far as his idea that this is going to cause grave implications for women, I think cutting off access to abortion is actually going to help women so much. We see the fallout from abortion every day. Women who suffer with anxiety and depression, women who have this guilt that's ongoing for their entire lifehood, women who are dealing with issues having to do with their fertility afterwards. And there was a woman that I met just the other day. She had had an abortion, and since then she hasn't been able to conceive. She's had two miscarriages. And she absolutely believes that this is something that is related to the fact that she had her abortion. There are women who die because of abortion. There are women who have, you know, perforated uteruses and damage to their cervix and all sorts of issues because in most cases, this is a blind procedure. And it's not, you know, the procedure that people are paying the most attention to. It does happen in clinics where they might not have the best resources to assist these women in the case of emergency. Oftentimes, they don't even report it when bad things happen because they don't want to get into trouble. So I think this is the greatest thing that could have ever happened for women's health.
I could not agree with you more. Well, doctor, thank you. Thank you for your time. Keep up your good work, okay? I look forward to the next time we talk again.
All right. Take care. God bless you
guys. That's Dr. Monique Rubarou. And I'll tell you what, I think she's right on point. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more about this. I also want to talk to you about one of the solutions. I think this is a month dedicated to the precious blood. We need to call upon that because we are really dealing with an evil. But you know, just something that she picked up on, and I think she's right. This is not a curse. This is not a hardship on woman. This is a blessing. And I love what the doctor said about praying for Joe Biden. You need to not just pray for Joe Biden. You need to pray for Congress. The president said that they need only two more pro-choice senators. That's all they need, two pro-choice senators, and they'll be able to codify Roe v. Wade in Congress. That's not going to happen. You know why? There's a bloodbath awaiting the Democratic Party coming come this November. But who knows? You don't know who can be swayed right now. I don't see that happening. But if it did, that would be a real tragedy. Today, if you're not familiar, the president issued an executive order. It's a stopgap measure until he says that Congress can codify the right to abortion nationwide that Roe had assured for 50 years. Again, as I said, you know, there's no constitutional right to that. And as you know, it all goes down to the state. But just one thought here. And I get so frustrated at Catholics like Joe Biden. Like Secretary Xavier Becerra, you know, Nancy Pelosi. These people who hold high office and are Catholic yet betray their Catholic values. The president at the White House was accompanied by the vice president, by Kamala Harris. He was there with the HHS Secretary Becerra. And he called Americans. He says, look, turn out in greater number on Election Day. Respond to the court's decision regarding abortion. He is so out of touch. This party is so out of touch what's resonating with Americans. This is an important issue. It's an important issue for me, and I'll go out and I'll vote for life, and I hope you will too. But really, I mean, they're camping out. They got nothing to stand on, and as a result, he thinks that this is going to motivate the base to get out there. We need two more pro-choice senators in order to codify Roe. You know, people can't put gas in their car. They can't feed their kids, right? And you're like, go out and vote because, you know, we need two more pro-death senators. People don't, they're not going to vote for pro-death senators. Get the economy right, change things. You might be lucky to win a few more seats. That's not going to happen, though. That is just not going to happen. Dobbs v. Jackson, that ruling on June 24th, a historic day now in our country, it sent the decision back to the state level. And honestly, as I said in the very beginning, Satan doesn't want to let go of the power. He wants it at the federal level. They're trying to codify it. The court said, hey, there's no constitutional right to this. And, you know, they're going crazy. They're going crazy right now. And you see this with this executive order. I think Joe Biden, this is my personal opinion, not relevance, no one else's. I think the man should not, I think he should be denied the Eucharist. I think he needs to, if you're going to say you're Catholic, you need to live by your Catholic faith. You're not in communion with our church and what it teaches. In fact, I wish he was excommunicated over this. Not out of anger or lack of mercy, but out of mercy. You know, I want this man to be in heaven with me and with you. You got to pray for his conversion. And I don't know whether he's cognizant of what he's doing here or whether or not this is really where his heart has come. He's gone from being relatively pro-life at one point in his career now to be rabidly pro-death, signing this executive order right now. And one of the things this executive order will do, it will allow medication, abortion medication, to be more easily acceptable or accessible, I should say. There's a drug out there called, I think it's Mifepristone. I don't know. Mifepristone. Thank you, Maggie. That's right. That's what it is. And I think that's what it is. I'm trying to remember from the top of my head. It's basically what it does. It blocks the body supply of progesterone, the hormone that an unborn baby needs to grow normally. And there's a second pill that's given. And that's taken 48 hours later, causes cramping, bleeding, and, you know, ultimately leads to an empty uterus. So this is evil. But we're going to see a rise in this. You're going to see more and more people go there. The battle's not over. It's just beginning. That's where we are right now. Thank God the Supreme Court ruled the way it did. Let's pray for our elected leaders. When you get to the ballot box, I think life should be one of the key issues. I know the economy is a big one. I think life's got to be the top tier for you. You have to defend it. And if we do what's right with God, everything else will fall in place. Short break. When we come back, I'll share with you the devotion that maybe we should call upon this month. I talked about it a little bit earlier, but the church takes an entire month and dedicates it to this particular devotion. It's powerful on so many different levels. I'll fill you in when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, it's good to be with you today. You know, it's a special month. You know, I was thinking back just about dates and times. You know, in June, we had months dedicated to the Immaculate and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, right? And it was in June on, I think it was the 26th of June, I'm trying to recall, that Obergefell, that decision took place that redefined marriage. Of course, we saw, you know, I think it was June 24th of this year, the Feast of St. John the Baptist, that we saw, and the Sacred Heart this year, that we saw the Dobbs decision come out overturning Roe. And I thought, you know, we're in a spiritual battle here, aren't we? We really are. What defeated the evil one? What conquered evil? It was the sacrifice. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it was. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. We're in this month that has been dedicated to the most precious blood of Jesus. And I was struck by something Dr. Mark Miravalli said to me earlier in the week. We talked about this, and he says, there's only 12 months in a year. It's all we have, 12 months. And the church has dedicated the month of July to the precious blood of Jesus. I mean, that speaks in and of itself volumes, doesn't it? It speaks in and of itself. So I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know what, I want to talk about it. Patty Faison will be joining me in a few minutes. She's from a wonderful organization that spreads devotion to the precious blood, and she's claiming that people are finding healing from cancer when they turn to this. There's conversion. There are miracles. There are healings. There's just, I mean, it's a devotion that brings spiritual protection. But, you know, outside of what we're seeing today, I want to go back, and I was thinking about this. You know, what is it about blood? Have you ever thought about it? I mean, you and I have the privilege as a Catholic of receiving the blood of Christ. I mean, it's profound. I don't think we contemplate that. Christ told St. Faustina that when we go to receive the Eucharist in general, we approach him like he's a dead object, you know? And I know not always do we get the precious blood, but we do receive the Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the actual Eucharist. But I was thinking, blood, what is it? You know, the first sacrifice pleasing to God. Go back to the Old Testament, right? Go back to the book of Genesis. What was that first sacrifice? It was Abel, right? Abel slain a lamb, you know? And that angered his brother, of course, who then did what? He spilled Abel's blood. So we see in the very beginning in the book of Genesis, I think it's Genesis 4, somewhere earlier there, that we see blood play an important role. God said to Cain, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood, God said, the voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And so the soul of Cain cries out to God for peace, right? Abraham established this covenant of circumcision, the blood of the lamb on the doorpost at Passover, right? Remember that in Scripture? They had spared the Israelites with Moses. Think of how many children were spared from death from the blood of the lamb. And I think we should call upon the blood of the lamb, especially over Joe Biden, over our government, over this country. I've shared this story with you before. There was an exorcist who's a friend of mine, and we were just talking about somebody who had real problems in their home. There was a spirit of division. There was weird stuff going on in the house itself. And all the hallmarks of it pointed to a dark spirit. And he said to me, he says, Drew, if you ever feel that demonic irritation or spiritual agitation, or if there's a depressive spirit, or if there's violence or anger, or if there's something weird going on in a place and you're uneasy, like there's some haunted places you might stay in, right? He says, say this simple prayer. I claim the protection of the blood of the Lamb. I claim the protection of the blood of the Lamb. And he says, evil hates it. And when he told me that, I thought, yeah, the blood of the lamb on the doorposts at Passover spared the Israelites. Moses sprinkled the blood of animal sacrifices on the people to bless them as part of the rituals that God commanded, right? And move forward, the shepherds, you know, the shepherd of all of us became the lamb, right? Christ himself was the lamb that was slain. So the blood of Christ, what did it do? It delivered peace for Abel's blood cry, right? The blood purchased salvation for you and me. It opened the doors of heaven. You know, Christ sweat, what did he do in Gethsemane? Is another one I'm thinking of right now. He sweat blood, right? Golgotha, his blood fell to the ground. So you go through Scripture, and somebody else said, oh, you know, Christ may have shed blood for the very first time at his circumcision. It's another one. But one aspect of the blood that I love is the story of St. Longinus. He was the centurion at Christ's side, and the Romans had this practice to make sure that you were dead. The crucified were dead. They would take their lance, and they would thrust it into the side of the crucified and go into the heart. And when he punctured the heart of the Lord, what do we see? Blood and water, right, flowed from the side of Christ. What do we see in the Divine Mercy image? Blood and water, those rays of red and white, that's what they signify. And what the Longinus say? He says, truly, this is the Son of God. The blood of Christ supposedly spilled onto Longinus, who had real problems with his vision, and he was healed. I don't know how true the story is. Tradition has it that Longinus converted. He left the army, spread the gospel. He was probably even a martyr. I don't know. But I just think of the power of the blood. We can go on and on. It is a great month. And just one final thought here. You know, during Mass, especially during Lent, during Advent, through an ordinary time, we have the blood of Jesus Christ, right? Plead it on your lives. Plead it over your family if there's division. Plead it on your addicted child, right? Plead it on that spouse that has anger issues. We should plead it on Joe Biden. We should plead it on our government officials. We should plead it on the church, on society, on our nation. We should plead the blood of the Lamb, right? Why? Because it wards off evil. I really believe it. I do. I think there's nothing more effective, because it was blood that defeated Satan at Calvary. And I don't think there's any time like our own day when this spiritual battle is raging that we should be calling upon the blood of the Lord. I claim the protection of the blood of the Lamb. I claim the protection of the blood of the Lamb. Say that prayer. Say that prayer over and over again. You'll see the power of it, and I think you'll see evil flee. I want to welcome to the program, and we could talk so much about this. I spoke about it a little bit on Monday, and I thought, you know what, let me bring I have Dr. Miravalli. I said, let me bring one of the founders of the Precious Blood Organization. The Association of Precious Blood is located in Tallahassee, Florida. And Patty Faison co-founded it. And I think you can find their website at preciousbloodinternational.com, preciousbloodinternational.com. But she joins me today. She joins us. Feel free to call in and ask any question you might have. Patty claims that she's seen the fruit of this, from spiritual protection to miraculous healing. And it's a devotion of the church that somehow I think has been, I don't want to say it's been lost, because there's a whole month dedicated to it, but I think there's been an underutilization of turning to this great gift that the church has given us. Patty, good to have you with me today. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless you.
Well, thank you so much. Let's talk a little bit about what you have seen. I mean, we could talk about Scripture. I think of other places, too. I think about the angel in Fatima who appears to the kids with this chalice. I mean, you can go through so many different examples of where we see blood, from Scripture to apparitions. What are you seeing? I mean, tell me a little bit about the devotion. Are more people discovering it? I understand. I think last time I heard you, you said there have been numerous people cured of cancer as a result of this devotion. So fill us in.
Yeah, that wasn't really something that we had expected, but a lot of people had started praying the Precious Blood prayers, and then we started hearing testimony after testimony that people were telling us that, oh, well, my husband had cancer, we prayed these prayers, and he was healed. And so we asked them, well, exactly what did you do? And they would say, well, we prayed the prayers, or we did this, we did this. It pretty much boiled down to about 3 weeks. That was pretty much the average it took. And that there were two points that seemed to really stand out. The people prayed like they absolutely were going to get what they wanted. And there's a scripture, Hebrews 10:35, do not therefore lose your confidence, which bears a great reward. All these people who spoke to us told us they had a great confidence that God could do it, because he did it for them, so he could do it for me. Wow. And also in Matthew 7:11, we hear, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to you that ask him?
Right.
So why aren't we asking? You know, why do we not? And it's, you know, a lot of people will say, well, that's a Christian thing, that's a Protestant thing, it's not a Catholic thing. But you know what? Our Lord is healing everybody. We have, I mean, I could do just three off the top of my head. There was a woman with 11 tumors, and her husband was out of the country. She was diagnosed with metastatic cancer. It had spread all over her body. She had it in her brain, her lungs, her liver, everywhere. So since her husband was not there, she had three small kids. She ran to the rectory right after her diagnosis and collapsed in the arms of her local priest, who handed her our prayer book and said, pray the consolation, adoration, prayers without ceasing, and you'll be fine. And so she did. She had that book in her hand 24/7. When she finished the prayer, she flipped the book over and started again. And within a course of 3 weeks, as she was going in for her appointments, the 11 tumors began to disappear one after
wow.
the other, much to the concern of the
wow.
doctor.
11
and at the
tumors.
Very end, he finally asked her, are you taking tamoxifen without my knowing it? And she's like, well, I don't even know where I get it. But I have this prayer book. So he asked, he sat down and he listened to her story, and he ordered 10 prayer books for the Komen Cancer Center in Tampa. So she was healed completely. Then there was another woman whose mother was completely filled with cancer, had metastasized all over her entire body, and she was going in for a surgery that morning in the Philippines. She was here in the United States. Just to have some of the larger tumors removed or reduced so that she could have some relief, because it was a tremendous cancer the woman had. And she went, taking one of our precious blood crucifixes and a book that was loaned to her by her neighbor, she went straight to the adoration room, and for 8 hours, she said, the first hour, I think she just prayed, you did it for the other people, you could do it for my mom. You did it for the other people, you could do it for my mom. And so that was the confidence with which she prayed. Then she said, well, wait a minute, maybe I should actually pray the prayers. So she began to pray the precious blood prayers. And about 8 hours later, her sister called her, and she stepped out of the adoration room, and she said, they took mom into surgery. They went through her entire body. There's no cancer in there anywhere. And so so that was another miracle. It was a healing within an eight-hour period if somebody was going to go to adoration and, you know, petition our Lord through his precious blood right there in his presence. Then and so that showed us that you could pray for someone anywhere. The first one showed us you could pray for yourself. The third one, which was three sisters that were taking, two of them were taking care of the third sister. She was 22 years old on her deathbed from leukemia. The other two were sleeping in shifts and taking care of her every 12 hours. When we put out a call on one of our blogs, and we told people, hey, it looks like a lot of people are being cured of cancer. If doors open, run through it. We'll give you a free book. Anybody who's got cancer, just call us. So this woman who lived next door got two books, ran them over, gave them to the sisters, and these girls are absolutely not of any religious persuasion. But they were willing to take the books and pray the prayers if that was going to help their sister. So in between caring for her, they had the book in their right hand, you know, left hand, their spoon to feed her in the right hand, and they just prayed the prayers. And the funny part with this one is because the girls didn't have any exposure to any Christian religion, when it got to the part in our book where it would say, mm-hmm. you pray, Our Father, dot, 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 Hail Mary, dot, 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 because we kind of assume you know how to finish it,
right.
They would just go, Our Father, and pause. Then say Hail Mary and pause.
dot, dot,
but
dot.
Even doing only that, the sister was healed. Within a 3-week period, wow. She was sitting up and eating, and they took her to the doctor, and they did blood work, found out she had no cancer in her body at all. So
I absolutely love it. Hold the thought, though. Patty, I hate to do this. I have to take a break. It's part of what we have to do here. When we come back on the other side, I'll let you pick up. We can share a few more stories. If you want to join us, feel free to dial in. I have about 10, maybe 12 minutes left with Patty. The number, 888-914-9149. You can get in right now if you've had an encounter with the Precious Blood Devotion. I'd love to hear from it. If you got a question, a comment, you need more information, 888-914-9149. Giving you a look at life you're not going to find anywhere else. I promise you that. I'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole? I'm singing
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, introducing you to maybe a devotion has not been a big part of your spiritual life. I discovered devotion to the Precious Blood, and I found with a great protection. And as my guest today, Patty Faison, is pointing out, even some incredible healings. And I just love the story of 11 tumors shrinking. I mean, it's just God, all things are possible. I say it all the time. Patty, it's great to have you with us here. Let me just give you the opportunity to pick it up where you left off if you want to share another story. I also want to ask you, I want to make sure we get to this before time runs out. If people want to learn more about Precious Blood, the devotion, are there resources? How can they connect it to it? And what do they need to know?
The best way is by getting on our website. On the front page, there is a place where you can sign up to be on our mailing list. We are developing a new website right now so we can load our podcasts in there so we can have all the information you need. We do have a free copy of our prayer book on our website at preciousbloodinternational.com. If you go to the books tab and click on that, we're starting to load all of our books in there for free so you can pick them off of there from anywhere in the world.
All right, and let me go back to you. I didn't want to cut you off. I think you were sharing a couple stories. You have another one you want to share?
Yeah, well, we have stories of protection, too. The prayer that you had was absolutely spot on, but be sure that when you prayed over your family in the morning, you say, cover me with the precious blood. Cover me and my family and my children. And you can say, and my home, my property, possessions, finances, my pets, everything. Cover it all with the precious blood. This particular devotion is known for its protection. There is a crucifix that was given with this particular devotion that's going on. It's an ongoing apparition that has the approval of the local bishop there in Nigeria. And the crucifix, our Lord had said when he gave that at the apparition, would protect you from all natural disasters. We have testimonies of protection from California wildfires, tsunamis in the Philippines, hurricanes, tornadoes, all kinds of things. The one in the California wildfire actually made the news in Los Angeles. The fire was coming up behind the woman's house. She was having a precious blood prayer group at the time. The wind had changed directions. The fire was coming up the hill behind her house, and the police were going along knocking on doors and telling everyone, grab your pets and get out as fast as you can. And so she came out with all her neighbors. They're standing there looking over the cliff down into the canyon behind her house, and here, sure enough, this wave of fire is coming up. And one of the girls said, don't you have that miraculous crucifix? And she said, well, yeah, it's still in the box. It just came. So they ran in the house. They got it, unwrapped it. And one of the girls yelled, hold it up. So she held it up. And one of the girls opened the prayer book and just started praying whatever prayer she could find. She didn't, to this day, cannot remember what prayer she prayed. She just opened the book and started to pray. And there in front of everyone, including the police and the fire department, the fire burned down the hill in the opposite direction away from the homes. And they had a thing on the 11 o'clock news that said, woman holds up cross, drives back fire. They mentioned it even on the news. So this is for protection for your homes, protection for your family. There was even, when we were going down to Miami to do a parish mission down there, the gentleman had the radio blasting when he picked us up from the airport, and we were praying he would turn it down, asked me, please, no, you're in Miami now. But it's good he left it on, because then after that song ended, they came on and they were giving a quick news story about there was a person who was picking up children at bus stops and they were being murdered. And they had found the man and they were digging up his backyard and had found bodies of some of the children in his backyard. But while they were doing this, there were kids running around the yard. And it was the neighbor's house, the woman next door. They were a good Catholic family. They had 8 kids. And so they told her to keep the kids inside, and they came over and said, you realize this guy next door to you, you know, was picking up children? She says, yes, I'm sorry, but I just, you know, I can't watch them all the time. It's just a small neighborhood, so I pray the precious blood over them to protect them, you know, and bring them home safely at dinner time. So they also asked the gentleman they went to jail and said, you know, you've been picking kids up from bus stops. You get the neighborhood kids in your yard. You know, why didn't you get any of them? And the gentleman said, because I couldn't touch them. And that came to pass a second time when we heard another testimony from a woman who was from a Wiccan colony. She had converted back to the Christian faith. And she said, when you join a Wiccan colony, they give you an assignment, and you are assigned to do some sort of evil. And she was assigned to kill this pastor's children because he had been preaching against the actions of these Wiccans in town. And so she followed them everywhere. She knew where they were at any time. She always knew what their schedule was. But she said the same thing when she converted. She said, the strange thing was, I couldn't touch them. And again, when they talked to the pastor, he had said he and his wife prayed the precious blood over their family every day before they left the house, so that everyone in the family would be protected for the day. So those were two things that came together for us that were also very, very potent and powerful. So your exorcist is spot on about that prayer.
I love that prayer. Such a powerful, simple little prayer. Well, I'll tell you what, I only have about a moment or two left for you. So let me give out your website. If people want to share their stories, if they want to go ahead and get the cross or you're plugged into the book or anything else you have, best way to connect
to
you, Patty.
Books are free. Books are free. You can just order, you can just print them right off the website. Go ahead and test that, test our Lord's providence with your own health issues. Cancer's not the only one. We've had people healed of diverticulitis and kidney disease. I mean, you name it, everything in the planet. So print the book out for free and go ahead and pray it. You have nothing to lose. Everything's free there. Just give it a shot and give us a holler when something happens. Let us know what you did and what happened.
So what's the best website to do that? How do they get the
book? PreciousBloodInternational.com.
All right, sounds great. Hey, Patty, thank you for being with me. Thank you for spreading this devotion. You're a rare voice, and I hope more people will turn both to the protection and to honor in a special way our Lord's precious blood. Have a great week. Remember us in your prayers, okay?
Amen. Thank you. I will, Drew. God bless you.
Thank you. That's Patty Faison, and I am out of time for the day. I don't know where it goes. It just seems to fly by. It goes by so quickly. I hope you appreciate the program. If you do, maybe you're new to the broadcast. You've only been listening to the show for a short time. Do me a favor. If you're listening on the radio, set it in your car. If you're on a mobile app, remember, I'm on every afternoon from noon to 3 on the Pacific Coast, 3 to 6 on the Eastern Coast, 2 to 5 in the Central Time Zone. And, of course, Relevant Radio's got great programming. Anything you missed, you can get on our podcast. Just go to relevantradio.com, keyword Drew. You'll find all of our stuff there, okay? I'll pray for you over the weekend. Pray for me. Till our paths again cross. Remember, God loves you, and so do I. Have a good day.